101.9 FM W260CV Racine and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The Republican presidential candidates are trying to round up votes ahead of Saturday's primary in South Carolina. Nikki Haley zeroing in on Donald Trump's legal troubles.
He's gotten more unstable and unhinged. He spends more time in courtrooms than he does on the campaign trail.
After criticism over his lack of a direct response to the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, Mr. Trump told a Fox town hall,
"Navalny is a very sad situation, and he's very brave. He was a very brave guy because he went back. He could have stayed away. And frankly, probably would have been a lot better off staying away and talking from outside of the country as opposed to having to go back in, because people thought that could happen, and it did happen."
In Russia today,
Navalny's mother has now filed a lawsuit over Russian officials' refusal to release her son's body, but it won't be heard in court before next month. She's been trying to retrieve his body since last Saturday, a day after he died. Navalny's widow claims the Kremlin is refusing to release his body as part of a cover-up. The cause of his death is still unknown.
Correspondent Cammie McCormick reports a dual Russian-American citizen, a ballerina, has been charged with treason in Russia after she donated $50 to a Ukrainian charity. Lawyers for the American government are arguing at court in London today for the extradition of WikiLeaks' Julian Assange. CBS's Vicki Barker has details from London.
Day two of the two-day hearing here, and U.S. prosecutors are arguing why Julian Assange must face espionage charges in the U.S. over leaked classified documents. The WikiLeaks founder hasn't been in court for this last-ditch attempt to prevent his extradition. His wife and lawyer says he's too frail.
Little girl has died after playing in the sand at the beach with a friend in Fort Lauderdale. CBS Miami's Anna McAllister says they were digging a hole with shovels.
That hole was about 5 to 6 feet deep when it collapsed, completely trapping the girl under the sand while the boy was buried up to his chest on top of her.
Beachgoers dug furiously to try to save the child. Jacqueline Ellis still has hope her pet survived after California's pounding rain and windstorms this week knocked her house down in Auburn.
I think my cat might still be buried under there because he hasn't come home and I can't find him. He was in the house when it happened.
As the FDA considers banning sales of menthol cigarettes, a new study shows it could go a long way to reducing smoking rates. Here's CBS's Michael George.
Researchers in North Carolina looked at menthol bans in Canada, Europe, and elsewhere. They found while 50% of menthol smokers switched to non-menthol cigarettes, almost a quarter of menthol smokers quit altogether.
S&P futures down 12. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin in Madison must now accept all high school graduates from the state who finish in the top 5% of their class. All other state universities have to admit grads who finish in the top 10%. The new law is part of the deal to release state money in exchange for diversity program cuts. Governor Evers signed the bill into law Tuesday. Wisconsin State Senate Republicans are firing four more of Governor Evers' appointees, including former Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. She was serving on the UW Hospitals and Clinics Board. Democratic Senator Kelder Royce.
She did nothing but serve our state well and continues to do so. And yet, this body is going to reject her because of pure partisanship.
Republicans also fired Tom Ames from the Natural Resources Board. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Brewers expect to win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. That's what Brewers owner Mark Antanasio told reporters at the team's spring training camp in Arizona. Despite releasing several veterans and trading Corbin Burns to Baltimore, the Brewers owner says he has an expectation to win this year. He went on to say there's no deal finalized yet to re-sign Brandon Woodruff to a two-year contract. College hoops, number 7th-ranked Marquette will play their next three games at home, beginning tonight against DePaul. The Golden Eagles have played six of their last eight on the road. road, the Badgers got a win over Maryland in Madison. The final 74-70, thanks to efficient shots from the foul line, 28 of 31. Green Bay Packer A.J. Dillon was at the game courtside.
Hey, it's been awesome. It's always great coming down to Madtown. My wife is an alum. My sister-in-law is a cheerleader. So we're repping Wisconsin cheerleading and the basketball team today. It's great to come down and show support.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be mostly sunny and mild today. We'll get to around 54 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 35. Tomorrow, a little light rain in the morning, then partly cloudy, 49. On Friday, sunny, 38. But we will bounce back with 40s and 50s into the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Coming up Wednesday on Matt Nair on Air. Join us at 10:30 for a round of the good, the bad, and oh, baby, I've got to get one of these. And weather with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
I had kind of a rough day. I was over at my parents' house all day because I live there. And, God, I wish that was a joke. Yeah, a little rule of thumb. I'm 26, and if you are 26 years old and you're waking up under Star Wars sheets, the Force is not with you. No siree, Yoda. I mean, I love my mom. She's wonderful, but she can be so annoying. Like, you ever drive with your mom as an adult? I would rather pick up an escaped convict. At least they're satisfied, you know what I mean? My mom, she doesn't really say anything out loud. She just makes that noise that moms make when they think they're about to crash, which is roughly every 10 seconds. You know that noise? I just want to veer into oncoming traffic. I'll give you something to about lady. Then she starts grabbing that handle, the we're all gonna die handle. What is that thing even there for? In case you want to turn your car into a subway at some point? Or have a little baby doing chin-ups on it or something? Then she starts pressing on her brake, the fake brake, right? Oh yeah, mom, that was helpful. Yeah, we almost crashed, but you mimed braking. Thank goodness for that. Thank you. You're so talented.
WRJN Radio. Thank you for joining us here on this day after Election Day. Mayor Corey Mason is here, mayor from Racine. Thank you very much for joining us here.
My pleasure.
We're listening to that comedian there talk about driving. My dad, when he taught me how to drive, I learned to drive in New York. And I just got a permit. And he said, okay, let's go on the Long Island Expressway. I said, Dad.
Wow.
He said, if you're going to learn, you might as well learn now.
That's jumping into the deep end.
Oh, I'm going to let the LIE, and he said, speed up. I said, but the traffic, he said, stay up with the flow of traffic. If you don't, you're going to cause an accident because everyone's going a little faster than the speed limit, and you're making people pass you. So keep up with the flow of traffic. And I always thought about that. If I ever got stopped for speeding, well, my dad used to tell me to keep up with the flow of traffic because he said, you're going to cause an accident if you go that slow. It was 55 miles an hour. And people going like 60, 65, but he's right. If you go 50, you're going to cause people to pass you. They're going to go into lanes that they shouldn't be in. And, you know, anyway, so that's where I learned to drive. What did you learn to drive?
Here, locally, right?
Get that microphone a little closer.
Sure.
I can hear every word.
Yeah,
you have to say.
I mean, I learned to drive and took a test when the DMV used to be over by Shopko, right?
Okay.
And, you know, that was the big experience is learning how to drive. And, you know, I think, I think my dad was less nervous about driving with me than my mom. I think she was hanging on to that bar. If anybody,
the subway bar. Subway in.
Hanging on to it as best we can. But yeah, I mean, I remember being so upset because I wanted to get my test on my 16th birthday. And I think it was like 3 days after my birthday, right? I was so angry I couldn't get it scheduled on time. But yeah, it was that. And then, you know, they drive around sort of in the neighborhood there just a little bit east of Ohio. And it's got a neighborhood that has unmarked intersections in it, right? Which was one of the tests they had to do. Like, what are you supposed to do in an unmarked intersection? It had a few yield signs in it. And but yeah, it was, you know, that was the big rite of passage to freedom. Would you have a driver's license? And
oh, and if you were the first one in school, you had the car in school, everybody wanted to be your friend because you were able to drive everything. Well, one last thing about that. My dad, we come up to an intersection. I just got my permit. I mean, he was ruthless to me. You know, he expected to be like a 40-year veteran of driving in New York. We come up to an intersection, four stop signs. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to wait to see if he goes first. He said, what are you writing a thesis on this corner? Let's go already.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the other thing. You know, you have those four-way stops. And I think even for people this day, it's just like, is it your turn? Is it my turn? Is it, you know, there's this sort of awkward thing. And occasionally somebody will wave them on. It's like, well, it's actually your turn, but okay.
That's how I failed my first driver's test. That's what he said. He said, you came to a four-way and you didn't let the guy on your right. Even though he waved me on, he said, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And he failed me on that, and I had to take it again. And I thought I was never going to drive a car as long as I live. This is it. I failed my driver's test. I'm never going to drive. I'm going to be walking for the rest of my life. And that was it. And, well, it didn't work out like that. I got my driver's license, and I got one ticket in my entire life.
Oh, good for you.
And you know what that was? We were doing a promotion here with one of the car companies in town, and I had to drive their cars for a week and then talk about it. So I'm getting on the freeway, and this cop had somebody pulled over right after the entrance ramp, and I couldn't get this thing up to speed. I mean, this thing was, and they were going 80 miles an hour, and I couldn't get into the lane, so I had to drive past the cop. There was a guy on the hill. He said, you didn't pull over. You're supposed to pull over an extra lane. I said, I couldn't get in. He said, I saw.
Well.
But you're getting a ticket. And they reduced the ticket to something ridiculous, but anyway. Okay, we had the election last night. This was a primary, and a lot of people waking up this morning said, really? There was a primary last night? Where was I during all this? We promoted enough here on this station. We told you it was February 20th. We had all four people from the 4th Assembly, 4th
Aldermanic
District on. We talked about it. We put the interviews online, and I was number 91 at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And the vote totals, we didn't talk about the exact vote totals, but why don't you run through them there?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So 173 people who voted altogether in the 4th Aldermanic District. David Mack came in first with 74 votes. Jacqueline Schrader came in second with 45. And then coming in third was Jordan Lawrence, who had 30 votes. And Keith Fair came in fourth at 24 votes. Coming in last is one write-in. So we had one write-in in the district. So 173 altogether. But, you know, I think the low turnout a bit is because unless you lived in one of those two aldermanic districts out of the 15 in the city, there was no election. There was nothing citywide
that
would bring people out.
But still, it was a beautiful day yesterday.
Oh, I agree.
And this, we vote at Red Apple School.
Yeah.
And it's I could walk there if I had to.
Right.
There's parking galore on the streets.
Yeah.
And when I went in there with my wife, we were the only two people in there. And when we left, we were the only two people in there. I think the poll workers were, you know, napping for the last 3 hours. But
it was slow.
Yeah, it was a slow day. And I know it's a primary thing. I know you don't get a lot of people voting in that. In the second district.
The second district. So this is where Molly Jones is the incumbent. We had 272 voters in that.
All right. District. So they up did, and alive.
Yeah, almost, you know, a third more voters in that district, which is interesting. But out of 272 voters, Molly Jones got 169. So she performed very well as the incumbent. Tyler Townsend came in second at 48. So he'll be the other person who advances. And then David Zuper came in third with 34. And Xavier Kendall Gordon came in last at 21 votes. No write-ins there.
Okay, so now they go into the general election, the top two. And when is that? Yeah.
That'll be in April. So it's the
first Tuesday in April.
And so there, it'll be in the context of, you know, there's the presidential primary taking place, right? So it'll be, there will be citywide efforts for people to vote, and actually statewide efforts for people to want to vote in April. And there we do have other aldermanic districts where it's contested. So if there are only two candidates who filed in some of these aldermanic districts, there's no primary because we know who the top two are. So there'll be more more spaces and reasons for people to vote citywide, and in particular aldermanic districts, than there were for just these two districts. That, and you know, I certainly am thrilled when people want to run for office, right? So people are just like, ugh, to do a whole election just because four people wanted to run in two districts. But that's democracy, right? Like, that's how it works. Anybody can put their name in, and if they qualify on the ballot.
Look what's going on in Russia right now.
Yeah.
You're an opponent, you die.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, so, luckily, we don't have that in this country.
We have a free country, and if, you know, if you're an eligible voter and over 18 and, you know, don't have a felony where you're on paper, you got the right to run. That's all it is. You got to be a citizen and over 18 and now also do so.
You can't be a felon to run in a local election, but you can be a felon and run for president, though.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, we'll see, right? I mean, I should say it's not that you can never run.
You can't vote if you're a felon.
Right, yeah, right.
And you can't.
And you can't hold office. There's a constitutional amendment in Wisconsin that says you can't hold office if you've been a felon. So, so that... that disallows you from running. But in terms of your right to vote, if you committed a felony and you're still out and you're on probation or extended supervision, you can't vote until your full sentence is over. But once your sentence is served, your voting rights are restored. And so people sometimes think, oh, if I lost my voting rights, did I lose them forever? But if once you've paid your debt to society, your voting rights are restored.
What do you think about the new map redistricting?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. This is a long saga. I was actually in the legislature when the Republicans did this sort of gerrymandering map that it's based upon. And so, you know, we've had, you know, a decade and a half now of lines that are just really not competitive, right? And so you have this.
Well, explain what the average person says. Well, what do you mean drawing new lines? Yeah. What do you mean it's not competitive? Now, I understand it.
Yeah.
But why don't you explain it to people, what this whole thing is about?
Yeah, it's a great... So since the country's founding, right, every 10 years we count how many people live in this country. And every state and jurisdiction does that as well. And so whether it's the National Congress or state legislature, you want your districts to have roughly the same number of people and represent, you know, specific communities to be able to do that. Enter sort of the age of computers in the last 20 years or so, you've gotten politicians who've been very good about using computers and voter performance. And what you wind up happening is you have elected officials picking their voters instead of voters picking their elected officials. So
it's a good analogy.
It is. And it's not my line. Others have said it before, but that's really what happens. People go into these computer systems. They're like, well, wait a minute. This neighborhood's a little bit more favorable to me. So I want the neighborhood, but I don't want this neighborhood because that's a little bit more competitive. And so what you wind up happening is something called a gerrymandered map. It actually goes back to, I believe, in New York State was where the first thing this happened. And if I remember the story correctly, it was a guy named Jerry who drew the district a particular way, and they thought it looked like a salamander because the shape of the district was so weird.
That's the derivation of the word.
And
huh?
So the local press called it a gerrymander.
I never knew that. Yeah, that's great.
So that's where it came from. But it's basically, you know, you love to imagine that it never happened before. It has. But what you have now is computers make it so easy to do that. So what you wind up having is these seats that are just not competitive at all. So in my own experience, when I first got elected to the legislature, was 2006, and I represented a district that was almost 51% Democratic leaning, but it was a 50-50 district, right? It was a very competitive district that I was representing. It was south side of the city and most of Mount Pleasant that I had there, but it was a very competitive district. Redistricting comes along, and Republicans gerrymander these maps in a way that's favorable for them. I suddenly inherit a district that's 60% Democratic, right, which was, you know, great for me, right? But it wasn't great for democracy. What it basically meant is after that gerrymander happened, I didn't have a competitive election again. So we got to get back to a place where there are more competitive districts where people are actually really getting a choice instead of elected officials.
That is a great analogy. Very good. Receipt Mayor Corey Mason is with me here at WRJN Radio. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station at 719. Stay where you are. We're talking trains in just a moment.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
People we meet, paths we take, and decisions we make are at the center of the heartfelt romantic comedy Now and Then, opening this Friday at the Racine Theatre Guild. It's 1981, and as Jamie is closing the bar, a desperate last-minute customer offers him and his girlfriend $2,000 to sit and have a drink with him. Who wouldn't take it? As they swap stories, the unbelievable truth about this man is slowly revealed. Call the box office, 633-4218, or racinetheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Never gave a without a compass. Eyes waiting. Started to wonder. Metamorphosis. Loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Corey Mason is here. I got a question for you, Mayor.
Sure.
Who would you call first if you won the lottery jackpot?
Oh, my wife.
Who'd you call? Well, you didn't have to think about that,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, this is what I would do. According to a survey, 46% would call their significant other, so you're right in the right thing there. 10% would call their lawyer. The woman who does my taxes every year has been doing them since 1972.
Wow.
Same woman, Dolores Mayorkas. She does my taxes every year. Must be in her 80s now. I just spoke to her the other day. She said, how are things in Phoenix? I said, this is Donald. I live in Racine. Oh, yeah. I have two Rosens. Yeah, okay. Uh-oh. That made me nervous. Right. You know, I know you've been doing my taxes for 53 years or 54 years or whatever, 52 years. I would call her first.
You call your accountant first.
Yep. I would call my tax lady first because she knows everything. She does corporate taxes. She doesn't do individual ones anymore, except sure. People that stayed with her. She'll do it for laughs and giggles. And she, I would call her first.
Yeah, makes sense.
I would get her a first class airline ticket, get her up here, put her up at the nicest hotel in town, and say, order whatever you want from room service, and then we're going to talk about what to do with this $250 million that I just won.
Yeah. I mean, I do have the added benefit that my wife is a lawyer, so there is.
Oh,
that,
look at you! Right?
So you know that may help.
Be one call, but, two stones. That's right, two. That's right. Okay. We have a train we're talking about here, and I've heard about this since I moved to.
Yeah.
I moved here in 1980, and I remember our news guy was doing a story about this. This is the train from Kenosha, Racine, to Milwaukee.
Correct.
So this has been going on for decades.
Yeah, it's an idea that's too good to go away. But it's, you know, a little bit like the little engine that could. It's sort of like, I think I can. But so the question becomes, because there was a big effort when I was in the legislature, you know, more than a decade ago to try to get KRM established. What makes it different at this point are two really important things. So first of all, you know, Joe Biden and Congress passed the bipartisan infrastructure bill. And that bill makes substantial resources available for communities that want to do commuter rail. And the space between Milwaukee and Kenosha, and, you know, that connects us into the Chicago metro region, it's one of the best corridors that's underserved by rail. So that infrastructure bill really makes it work. And then the other thing that's been interesting is, you know, in years past, it's always been sort of a 100% publicly funded thing. And we're finding in different parts of the country, whether it's in Florida or there's this line going from Vegas to LA, you're seeing private public partnerships come into play where you're actually seeing the private sector making big investments to run rail lines. So those two things make it a bit different for us. So, you know, with Biden's leadership under the infrastructure bill, it makes really taking another look at this. We are fortunate to have gotten a grant from U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, who's made it a available to the city of Racine to work with Kenosha and Milwaukee to put in an application to the federal government. And, you know, we're excited about it. Again, it's an idea that people think is, it's like, why haven't we figured out how to do this? And so because of those changes in circumstances and the resources that are available, we're going to give it our best effort and try to get KRM rolling.
Everybody goes on vacation to Europe or Japan. They come back and say, boy, the rail systems, they were just fabulous. You can go anywhere you want to at 300,000 miles an hour, and they get you there, and the bullet trains. We really haven't grasped the train concept yet in this country.
Well, we did at one time, and then we decided, I think, you know, post-World War II, that we were really going to go all in with automobiles and interstates, and there's a space for that. But particularly in regions like the one that we're in between Milwaukee and Chicago, which is one of the biggest metro regions, one of the fastest metro regions in the country, you know, you can't put everybody onto an interstate. There's just not enough interstate road to do it. You got people sort of, you know, during rush hour time just parked there. So you want to make sense of using other modes of transportation. And for Racine, the city, which is, you know, about 9 miles away from the interstate, this plugs us into the region from an infrastructure standpoint. Let somebody, you know, live in the city of Racine, hop on a train and get to Chicago or Milwaukee or wherever they need to. Opens jobs up to 400,000 jobs that are within a half mile of that rail line. Just think about how many jobs that opens up for the region. So we're excited about it. Again, it's an idea that's too good to go away, and change of circumstances let us look at it with a fresh set of eyes.
Well, my wife and I, when we used to go to Chicago, this is all before COVID. COVID changed everything in this country. It just changed my habits. It changed everybody's order of doing things. We used to take Amtrak. Yeah. It's very expensive, Amtrak, when you take it to Chicago.
Right.
I mean, it's not cheap. Then we said, well, let's drive to Kenosha and take Metra. It's only $5 on the weekend.
Right.
So we did that. But you got to drive all the way to Kenosha. I mean, you're halfway there already. You might as well just do the rest of the half.
So imagine if you just drive over to State Street and hop on there at the Quinones, right?
No, but that'll walk over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a nice day and take the train.
You could pretty easily.
So that's good. How are the electric buses working out?
They are great. They are great. You know, so the
you don't hear them.
You don't. I mean, they're very, very quiet.
They sneak up on you. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people are used to sort of that diesel idling sound, right?
Or and the black stuff coming out the back.
None of that. Just none of that. I mean, the one thing that we were sort of worried about, like, what happens, the concern that people have about battery technology is, well, how will they do when it gets really, really cold? Because when it's really cold out, the battery range isn't as far. And they have exceeded our expectations in terms of how well they would do. So we're able to keep them going even in the coldest days. Again, they don't get quite the range, but they get enough of a range that we can run them for an entire shift and charge them up. And excitingly, again, props to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. She helped get us a grant. We're going to install solar panels around the bus depot where we store the buses at night so that they're actually using stored electric power that they're getting from the sun instead of pulling it off the grid. So it'll be an even more energy efficient and environmentally friendly bus fleet that we'll have. So we're excited about it.
My friend played me this scientist who was talking to a group of people, and he said in 10 years, it's all going to be self-driving cars and they're all going to be battery operated. And people were saying, oh, no. He said, well, think about this. Back in the late 1800s, if you would have told those people going up and down Main Street on horses in 10 years, your horses are going to be gone, they're going to be cars, they would have said, oh, come on, no.
Horseless carriages is what they call them, right?
And in 10 years, there wasn't a horse on the street. Yeah. They were all cars. So 10 years is not a long time, but, you know, things change. And if you would have said to somebody in 1970 that in 10 years, you're going to be talking on phones in your pocket.
Right.
People would say, oh, come on, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And they want to get rid of landlines, almost 100% of the landlines by 2030.
Yeah.
Our
kids don't even know what a landline is, right? I mean,
there's a video online. They gave these two teenagers a rotary dial phone. They said, make a call. And what they couldn't grasp was the fact that you have to let it go, pull your finger out to let the dial go back. And they were letting it go back slowly and the calls weren't going through. Yeah. They said, no, pull your finger out real quick and it goes back. They couldn't get that.
Yeah.
That thing in their head. I love having you in here.
No, it's great being here.
I love talking. You're all dressed up. You make me look like a slob. And thank you very much. Mayor Corey Mason is here. It's always good to get your insight on certain things in the election. And,
always glad to be here.
And the trains. You know, I'm a big train guy. I took the Long Island Railroad in New York City all my life.
Absolutely.
Big train guy. Thanks a lot, Mayor.
Thanks for having me.
See you next month?
Absolutely.
All right. More coming up here at WRJ. We have some contest tickets to give away. Got a whole bunch of goodies straight ahead here. 729 WRJ and Hometown Radio Refreshed. Civic Media Station.
talk and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN. Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Vincent.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things that are more important, they occurred in Wisconsin as well. And we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With the above average temperatures Wisconsin's been enjoying lately, maybe your grilling season has got a jump start. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. But boy, if you've been shopping at the grocery store, you know that beef prices are going to be at a premium this year. Kurt Larson, president CEO of the Equity Livestock Cooperative, says with tight cattle supplies across the United States, consumers can expect to spend a little bit more for beef on the grill. But he said there's always a deal.
I mean, it depends on what the demand is. Obviously, if there's product to be moved, the retailers get creative on how to do that. So, it depends on what cut you're looking for. You know, some of those high demand cuts are gonna continue to hold their value. Some of the maybe lesser demanded cuts, they're still gonna see some sales on those. And it's just a matter of what your appetite's for, and if you're willing to be a little bit flexible, I'm sure there will be some deals out there to be had.
Kurt Larson, president and CEO of the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association, beef cattle numbers across the United States are at historical lows not witnessed since about the 1950s.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau's grassroots policy really truly is a bottom-up process. This is truly started at the bottom by the members, for the members. It really does work its way up the chain because this is the core foundation of Farm Bureau. We truly are all-encompassing, and that's why I really believe in the Farm Bureau mission.
WFBF.com.
We are the voice of agriculture.
A voice for farmers. A vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance. Keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Calling all high school seniors for calendar year 2024-2025. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection now accepting applications for their next Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council. That will involve high school students who are seniors during the 2024-2025 school year from across the state. The goal of this youth council is to try to engage with young people, help them discover the opportunities that are out there with state government, as well as what the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection does that may also hold future career opportunities for them. Students serve a one-year term and receive a certificate at the completion of their terms. Find out more on the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection website. There's food news on a Wednesday. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to WRJN, Racine and Kenosha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba. It is going to be mostly sunny and mild today. We'll get to around 54 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 35. Tomorrow, a little light rain in the morning, then partly cloudy, 49. On Friday, sunny, 38. But we will bounce back with 40s and 50s into the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go.
This
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
So I go to my regular doctor, and he's like, what's going on? I said, you tell me. Just above my right knee, there's a little area about 3 inches up. It's about the size of a fist. That's where it doesn't hurt. And it feels very peculiar. Do you have a pill that can make everything else feel like that? I want an everything else like that pill. My doctor looked at me and said, Brian, you are way too sedentary. So I vowed in that moment to get a dictionary. But I haven't gotten around to it, you know, just been laying around a house. Or is it lying around a house?
WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio, refreshed, partly sunny today with 155, cloudy tonight, lows 36, and becoming sunny tomorrow with 148. Right now it's cloudy and 45 degrees. I want to thank Mayor Corey Mason for coming in. We're seeing Mayor Corey Mason. Thank you for spending that half hour with us. Do appreciate it. Let's get good insight from the mayor. Tomorrow night, sports. We got the Bucks in Minnesota. Playing the Timberwolves, 6:30 p.m. this Saturday. The Brewers make their premiere on WRJN out in Chandler, Arizona. The Brewers will take on the Padres at 2 p.m. live Saturday. First time for a Brewers game on WRJN. Love that. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to give away tickets to see Gabriel Iglesias. He's going to be at the State Fair on Thursday, August 1st. You can win tickets right here at WRJN in just a couple of minutes from now. So don't move, right? All right, odd but true this morning. Here are some facts for you. The first ever text message was sent on December 3rd, 1992. What do you think it said? Well, it's obvious. Merry Christmas. It worked. There's such a low expectation for the movie Star Wars back in 1977. And only it was on screen at 42 theaters nationwide for its opening weekend. I remember a radio station I worked at, we had the premiere. It was at the big Cinerama Theater on Long Island, the Twin South, I remember that. And we had tickets printed up with our logo on it and everything. And we even had trouble giving them away. At first, nobody knew what Star Wars was. But we had to fill up this big, you know, 1,500-seat theater. And we did. We filled it up eventually. But I said, I don't want to go. I don't want to see any movie like that. And I'm still not a Star Wars fan. But I got to admit, it was okay. We went, we saw the picture on this big Cinerama screen. It was really nice. That's that big curved screen. All right, what do you got for you here? Survey asks people what foods will put them in a good mood. All right, here's what they came up with. Here are the 10. What foods put them in a good mood and what puts them in a bad mood? Let's do the bad mood foods first, okay? Bad mood. Donuts? Really? Alcohol, soda, energy drinks, burgers, candy, pizza, cake, white bread and chips. Bad mood? All right. The good mood foods. Oh, really? coffee, dark chocolate, grapes, berries, yogurt, eggs, salmon, oranges, apples, and melons. Who filled this out? I would have switched them around the other way. Donuts, pizza, burgers always put me in a good mood. Yeah. A bad mood. A woman in British Columbia, Canada, spent several days in jail. Apparently, she sent a homemade thank you card to the jail and let them know that they treated her right. At the bottom of the card, she gave them 4.5 stars. I guess it's worth going back, right? Back to that jail. Treated her nice. How many people send a thank you card to their jail after they get out? 2 out of 5 parents say they've been eco-shamed by their kids. That's according to this survey. The top ways they get eco-shamed. They threw something out in the garbage they should have recycled. They leave the water running. For leaving lights on in a room after you leave. For using the car instead of walking. And for leaving the door open when the heat or air is on. My mother used to always say to me in the winter, close the door, I'm not heating up the neighborhood. Thank you, Mom. I'll close the door. We didn't have an air conditioner, so that's what she said in the wintertime. Close the door, I'm not heating up the neighborhood. My grandfather used to drive me nuts. He was a big energy saver. And whenever I got up, we were watching TV in the rec room together. I got up to get something, maybe a glass of water or something upstairs. I come back, the TV's off. Now, this isn't like TV is today, where you just turn it on and it's instant. You had to wait for the tubes to warm up. And he's like, what did you turn it off for? Well, you weren't watching it. I said, just went up to get a drink of water. He said, well, now you can turn it back on again. He did the same thing with the lights. I'd come, leave a room to get some, come back. It's pitch dark. I said, what'd you do? Well, you were out of the room, so I turned the lights off. So you're sitting here in the dark? He says, yeah. Why waste electricity? But every time I got, he shut the TV off. He didn't want to waste electricity. It'd be crazy. I love my grandfather, though. He was a great man. Good man. Want one of my grandfather's stories? All right. He grew up in the Bronx. And one day, I guess it was some, this is like 1920 or right in the middle of the roaring 20s there when gangsters ran amok. A guy comes up and shoots his friend on the street. I guess his friend owed money to somebody. Walked up. They're walking together. Shoots his friend right in the stomach. Friend falls down. And my grandfather's name was Dave. And he says, Dave, help me, help me. And the guy points the gun at my grandfather and says, leave. And my grandfather left him on the street. Now, he didn't die. He was okay after that. My grandfather explained, he had a gun on me. What was I going to do? He's going to shoot me next. But I don't know if they were friends after that anymore. My grandfather told me some really good stories. Saddam Hussein used Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You as his campaign reelection song back in 2002. Must have been effective. He won with 100% of the vote. Yeah, that's almost like Putin using a song to get elected. He got elected with 100% of the vote. A woman's going viral for a trick she came up with to catch a cheater. Here's what she did. You rub a lint roller on the carpet in your significant other's bedroom. If you pick up any hairs that aren't his or yours, you know you got a cheater on your hand. Are there any red flags you should look out for that tell you that a movie isn't worth watching? Because you know, if I go to a movie and say, well, I'll never get that 2 hours back in my life. All right, if a comedy and the trailer don't make you laugh at least once, don't bother. If the good reviews all come from one or two critics that you've never heard of before, it's probably going to be a flop. If the ads say critics are calling it laugh out loud funny, it's probably not. And if you find out they didn't screen it for critics at all, that's definitely a red flag. They don't want the critics to get the word out. And if it's based on a true story that happened in the past year or two, then they rushed it through and didn't take enough time to really make it good. There you go, some red flags. Of 2,000 grandparents out there, 81% say getting old is not as nearly bad as they thought it would be when they were younger. 45% say they're more carefree now than they used to be. I would say that, except for the aches and pains and the, waking up going, oh, that hurts. And seeing, looking in the mirror in the morning and said, gee, I never noticed that before. Other than that, growing old is not as bad as I thought. Yeah, and, you know, I'm getting up there. But it's not as bad. I don't think my mother thought it was bad either. Because she was sharp at the end. She had all her, you know, faculties and everything. So I think she thought it was okay. Lived to 92. A new survey asked adults how often they take naps. And the most common answer is never. 37% said never. 8% said they take naps often. 22% said sometimes. 32% said they take naps, but not very often. I love taking a nap in the middle of the day. You know, I get out of here, I go home, eat breakfast, and then I take a nap. Oh, I love it. Of course, you wake up feeling ugh from a nap in the middle of the day. But I love doing that. Oh, naps. I'm not as bad as George Costanza did on Seinfeld. Remember, he wanted to take naps in the middle of the day when he worked for the New York Yankees, and he built a, he had a contractor build him a sleeping nook under his desk. Remember that? With pillows, a little bed underneath his desk, and a shelf for the alarm clock. Yeah. It would be nice if we took naps in the middle of the day. I think in some countries they allow you to take naps in the middle of the day, of nap rooms. That would be nice. As a matter of fact, let me take one right now for 5 minutes. I'll be back in 5 minutes. I'll take a quick nap. Hall & Oates met. This is the group Hall & Oates, Man Eater, and all the great songs they had, Private Eyes, and you know, You Make My Dreams Come True. Hall & Oates met when they were both at a concert in Philadelphia and a gang fight broke out. They hopped in the same elevator to get away from the gunshots. They found out both went to Temple University, became friends, and they became Hall & Oates. And now one of them is suing the other one. I don't know if Hall is suing Oates or Oates is suing Hall. Somebody's suing somebody over some music rights or something. Ralph Macchio. This seems impossible, but it's true. Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, just turned 65 years old. Seriously, the guy could pass for 39 if you see him. He's sharing the secret to his eternal youth. Unfortunately, it's nothing you can copy. He says, it's in his genes. He said, his parents look young for the age. They have youthful energy for me, and for some reason, it rubbed off on him. A healthy lifestyle doesn't hurt, he said, but I think he just got lucky in the gene department. Yeah, hit the pick six in the gene lottery pool. And Ralph Macchio, yeah, he does look young if you see him. Remember my cousin Vinny? He looked like a teenager there, and he's probably in his 40s in my cousin Vinny. He looked like a teenager. All right, you want to start the year off right, right? Okay, let's remind you again how old you are. Okay, another reminder. These movies all turned 25 years old this year. Bridget Jones's Diary, Shrek, The Fast and the Furious, Legally Blonde, and Zoolander all are 25 years old. Molly Ringwald was interviewed on the Today Show, some show she was interviewed on. She looks great, but Molly Ringwald is way up there in age, in her 50s. Remember her in 16 Candles and all that? My pastor at my church was in her class. They went to school together, North Hollywood High School. So I know how old my pastor is, then I know how old Molly Ringwald is. In her 50s. You never know it by looking at her, though. 59% of Americans say they get some sort of package delivered to their home every single week. 43% say they've had a package stolen off their porch by a porch pirate in the past year. That's the way we're going these days, folks. Delivery. We're not going out of our little shells anymore. All right, let's give away some tickets right now. This year at the Wisconsin State Fair, it's going to be a bit fluffy. Comedy superstar Gabriel Iglesias hits the main stage on Thursday, August 1st. Now, if you want to go see a night of nonstop comedy, gut-busting laughter you won't want to miss, call right now. Tickets go on sale, by the way, Friday, this Friday at 10 a.m., but we're giving away tickets right now at 262-634-9756. 262-634-WRJN. If you want to go see Gabriel Iglesias at the Wisconsin State Fair Thursday, August 1st on stage, save the date, mark your calendar, and call in right now, 262-634-9756, and I'll give you a pair of tickets to go see Gabriel Iglesias at the Wisconsin State Fair. When they first told me he's going to be there, I said, is he related to Julio Iglesias? No, he's not. He's not related. Just same name. Gabriel Iglesias, State Fair. So give a call right now. Phone lines are open. 262-634-9756. 262-634-WRJN. And I'll get you that pair of tickets to go see Gabriel Iglesias at the State Fair. We're talking August already, folks. We didn't get to spring yet, and we're talking summer. But, you know, tickets go on sale. We want to get you the best seats we can. So that's what we're going to do. All right? 262-634-9756, 262-634-WRJN. It's 748. Thanks for joining us here at WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station.
listening to WRJN Racine, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
People we meet, paths we take, and decisions we make are at the center of the heartfelt romantic comedy Now and Then, opening this Friday at the Racine Theatre Guild. It's 1981, and as Jamie is closing the bar, a desperate last-minute customer offers him and his girlfriend $2,000 to sit and have a drink with him. Who wouldn't take it? As they swap stories, the unbelievable truth about this man is slowly revealed. Call the box office, 633-4218, or racinetheatre.org for showtimes and tickets.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Guitar you hear in that song is a Hoppner bass guitar. It's Paul McCartney's bass. It was stolen 50 years ago. He just got it back this week. The guy who stole it fessed up, and they said who he sold it to, and it was laying in an attic somewhere. This repair, but it was in a guitar case, so it's going to be fixable. But Paul McCartney got that guitar back that you hear on this song. The B-side, the flip side to Please Please Me on VJ Records, one of their rare releases that wasn't on Capitol Records. They had a few of them. Swan Records released She Loves You, and when they signed with Capitol, all their subsequent songs were on Capitol, except all the songs from the movie Hard Day's Night. They went on the United Artists label, but now they're on Apple Records. I think they're on Apple now, right? They sold Apple, I thought. Well, maybe they didn't sell Apple. All right. Does your mood change with the season? Got a survey here. 48% of people say it does. 39% say it doesn't. The rest aren't sure. They're just crabby year-round. It's supposed to brighten your day if you do nice things for other people, but if you don't have a ton of time or resources, here are some easy steps to have a bright day. Share coupons with someone next to you in line. I've seen people do that. If they don't want to buy something and they change their mind and say, hey, I got this coupon. I've done that before. Not recently, but I've done it. Give a big tip. The other day I was at a restaurant. They didn't give me a receipt. She told me what the price was, and if I don't see it on paper, and she's standing right there, I start to panic figuring out the tip. I just said, keep the change. I think I gave her about a 30% tip. But, you know, she was standing there staring at me, and I'm going, well, I said, carry the 2 divided by 5. Can carry that 2 over to this column? And I said, here, just keep the change. How about leave your extra change in the vending machine for the next person? I don't do that for some reason. The average person has more than 150 Facebook friends. A study found out we only go to 14 of them for sympathy or a tough situation, and we only use 4 of them in a real crisis. I don't think I tell anybody on Facebook my problems. Nah, I don't. We found a list online of the most ridiculous reasons people have been dumped. Like, he used too many hashtags. Remember on Seinfeld, she ate too many peas one at a time? Remember the peas were eaten one at a time? Jerry dumped her. Her glasses weren't actually prescription. And this is a quote. His name didn't match his face, so I dumped him. What does that mean? What's the most unprofessional thing you've done at work? People are sharing theirs on Twitter or X, including went to the movies, then back to the office to clock out. Ooh. Taking a Skype interview with another company on company time. And roasting a whole chicken at their desk. How do you do that? What, do you bring a rotisserie right in? And you cook it at your desk? That is kind of unprofessional. All right. We'll let you get away with it, though, this time. Someone asked etiquette experts to name the 10 rudest things you could do to someone in their house or just someone else's house. Moving things around, like rearranging cupboards, saying that chair should be over there, overstaying your welcome, of course, showing up and then not, and then telling them your dietary restrictions, and snooping. I think we talked about that already. Yeah, I think we talked about that one. Oh, this is the one I wanted to use on here. Who is the world's hottest bald man? Now, you don't have to answer that because, you know, science already has. It's Vin Diesel. A search engine optimization called Reboot looked at a bunch of different factors, including the infamous golden ratio, an equation that's supposed to measure facial beauty and perfection. So Vin Diesel is number one. Stanley Tucci came in number two. Pitbull is on the list, followed by Prince William, Jason Statham, Bruce Willis, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. One of our VPs of this company, Chris Morrow, he's bald. I think he's, but you know, he's got going for him. He's got that goatee thing going on for him, and that kind of adds to it. You know, he's a tough looking guy. I'm sure he can beat me up. I'm sure. We never tried it, but I'm sure he can beat me up. Let's see. I'm sure he can beat me up, but no problem. Feeling tired at work? Need a nap? Company in Japan's working on nap boxes for offices, but you have to sleep standing up. They're shaped like water heaters with a door in the front. They're little shelves to support your knees, head, and butt. You know what it sounds like? Remember in the old days in the Old West, they used to put you in a coffin and stand you up so everybody in town can see you got killed? Ugh. That's what it sounds like. A poll found 57% of us think office clothes will eventually be phased out. 23% think it's already happening. Certain things are still seen as too casual for work, though. 2,000 people were asked to name their most inappropriate things you can wear at work. The lists are a little different for men and women. The five most inappropriate things guys can wear: gym clothing, cycling gear, flip-flops, overalls, and Crocs. Casual t-shirts, short shorts, and Christmas sweaters also made the list. The top five for women: gym clothing, any top that looks too much like a bra, crop tops, Crocs, flip-flops, hot pants, and tube tops. Just missed the top five. Who goes to work with those things on? Can you imagine showing up to work? Guys, too. You got to show up in a cycling outfit to go to work? I've never seen that before. The mayor was in here. Mayor was wearing a shirt and tie and jacket. I think he had a vest on, too. He looked sharp when he was in here. Odd but true, a 53-year-old guy in Colorado became the fourth person to push a peanut to the top of Pike's Peak with his nose. He set a new record. Took him 7 days. Previous record was 8. I'm sure his parents and family are extremely proud of him for doing that. Push a peanut up Pike's Peak with your nose. It gets you in the record books, though. Yeah. 33% of people would rather lose their car than all the photos on their phone. About 1 in 5 people say they never back up their photos. Think Democrats and Republicans can't agree on anything? Grubhub.com looked at 187 congressional districts that lean liberal or conservative. They found the top foods we actually agree on. The three most bipartisan foods are spicy salmon rolls, bacon cheeseburgers, and shrimp with broccoli. Everybody, no matter what your political persuasion, can agree on that. I'm Don Rosen. Tomorrow, we're talking with Doug Incidence from the Racine Theater Guild about their new production, Now and Then. That's tomorrow morning at 7:06. Join me then. Catch you tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, right here, WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. Earl Ingram coming up next.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell and Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we have represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Milwaukee attorneys. 111 East Kilbourne Avenue, Suite 1650, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53202.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the